gardener, who thought his given name Harrison much too formal, did not consider himself an immoral man. His shrink, if he still had one, would say he was on a therapeutic quest. The more generous of his peers in the golf club locker room would say he was taking a much-deserved breather. But he had to admit, at least to himself, that his intention in going to East Africa was to engage in illicit activities, although he had only a vague idea of what those activities might involve. As Harry sat in the bar in the Tiki Lounge in Diani Beach, just a short walk from the White Sand, he wondered whether he'd been betrayed. Aldo was supposed to meet him here, and the fellow was more than an hour overdue. Granted that appointments in Kenya are much more good intentions than hard deadlines, Aldo's client expected to get what he'd paid for. The trip package had been prepaid, as was customary, and so far all the bookings had been solid and the accommodations sumptuous. Harry doubted whether Aldo had absconded with any funds, but this was Wary Harry's first venture offshore in a lifetime, and part of the deal was supposed to be Aldo's companionship and watchful guidance. Harry would later learn that Aldo was in Mombasa, meeting with an attorney, David Odiengo. Since Esther was in Mombasa as well, did they meet? Were they somehow working together? On what? And for whom? These became questions that nagged at him. Esther, a local hottie, was an eligible widow who might be in her 30s, perhaps 40, and seemed to be captivated by Harry's charm, if not his looks. She would be too old for the younger men of this resort town, unless she was rich, which apparently she wasn't. But Harry was no prize when it came to physique. His body was thick-set and pudgy, and he was losing his hair. He liked to think he had heart. He didn't think himself wealthy either, but people here assumed he was. She'd taken to teasing him with the nickname Harambe. Neither had told him what it meant, literally. Aldo had hinted it was complimentary, but now both of them liked to taunt him with it, usually accompanied by wide grins and chuckles. And Harry's affable round face was now familiar enough around this little town that others were catching on too, and they seemed just as amused. Good-naturedly, he hoped. It wasn't until he was studying a banknote in this solitary moment at the bar when he saw Harambe emblazoned on the banner of the Kenyan coat of arms just beneath two lions rampant guarding a tribal shield. Harry pulled out his phone and searched online for the definition, discovering that the national motto in Kiswahili means "we pull together," or simply unison. Harry still didn't make the connection. He was aware that people on the street were likely to greet him as Papa, a respectful term for an older gentleman of any race, or Mzungu, meaning white man, or, if uttered with extra emphasis, meaning crazy, or clueless, or worse, white man. Harry Harambe would discover that, to some of his new friends, he would be one of the boys, or one of our boys, or one of my boys who has our money, which is to say, one for all and all for one, or, he feared, you for us and all you have for all of us. Unity. Had she taken advantage of him? Or was he exploiting her? Was he allowing himself to be manipulated? Or was he asserting himself into her life? But despite these troubling considerations, for once his life was interesting. So, perhaps Aldo was taking advantage, just trying to make Harry's life seem more worthwhile. That was what the fellow had promised.